Well, I got to tell you, when I look at your book and I read about you and everything you do, you ooze Southern living. What is it about being Southern and being sweet and loving our goodies?
We just like to feed people. And, you know, feeding people, cooking for people is how we show them we love them. And so that's why it's all intertwined together. You know, if I love you, I'm going to cook something from you. If I care about you, I'm going to cook something for you. And if you leave my house, you're taking something with you. Because there's a very real chance you could starve in the five-minute drive home.
Well, you know, that does happen. Those are my best memories of leaving after the holidays when I go home to visit. And I'm always taking something wonderful with me. So as a good hostess, what should you be ready to do when someone wants to take something home? Are there any special needs there?
Well, I prefer having paper plates and aluminum foil so they don't have the burden of trying to get your plate back to you. But the main thing is I think as a Southerner, we naturally tend to overcook. I always say my favorite thing to do is cook for an army. And so there may be four of us, or when we have a big family dinner at Christmas, there's eight of us for family dinner. My husband's parents and my parents come. And so when there's eight people, I need to cook at least enough for 30 because you just don't know what appetites are going to be like. And so at the end of that meal, you kind of need to get the things out of your house, too.
You sure
so
do.
Everybody takes on a plate.
Aww.
And then you got to feed your neighbors. You know, I have some wonderful neighbors. I have this wonderful elderly couple that's my neighbors, and I love to feed them. I've adopted them as grandparents. I don't know if they know it yet, but we feed them, too. So, you know, it's just having a loving and a giving heart. We all have that. I think that's the main bond that we all share. We love family. We love one another, and we want the best for people. And so all from that spirit comes giving and feeding. It all just falls naturally in line with one another.
It sure does. Now, your new book is Sweetness, Southern Recipes to Celebrate the Warmth, the Love, and the Blessings of a Full Life. That's a lot to pack into one book.
It is. But I wrote this book in honor of and dedicated to my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote a lot of the stories from their childhood. The title actually came, my grandmother was a sharecropper, and she had a very difficult life. And they had every reason to complain and moan about life, but they didn't. They chose to be grateful for their life. They chose to look on the bright side. And grandmama used to say at the end of every meal, she'd say, now we need to get us a little something sweet. And so her philosophy of life was, you know, no matter how hard things get, let's look for the sweetness in it. And this generation has just given us so much. We're going to be gleaning from this generation for the rest of history, I truly believe. And some of them are leaving us now, but the sweetness still remains that they left in our lives. And so all of these recipes just help bring that back to mind.
Oh, I so agree with you on that one. Now, do you have like an old recipe file from your grandparents? I have mine from my mom written on 3x5 cards that are my mother's recipes and my grandmother's recipes. That'll never leave my hands.
Yes, I have. My mother is big on, I don't like things that you buy. I mean, things that you buy are fine, but I don't need things that you buy. I prefer sentimental gifts, and my mother knows that about me. And for my birthday this past year, she has a big old binder that was made in the 60s. And it's like a notebook like a kid would take into high school or something with them. And Mama started writing in all these recipes and taping recipes and writing down. And sometimes she went to her grandmother's house and she would write down her recipes into her own book and stuff. And for my birthday this last year, my mother made herself a copy of that book and gave me her original one.
Oh, that's precious.
And you know the treasure that is. And then when my grandmother passed away a couple of years ago, they gave me her cookbook. And so I can't even, you know, I have all the treasures in the world in my home now.
You absolutely do. Okay, in Sweetness, are you sharing some of those recipes?
Yes, I am. I went through Grandmama's cookbook. And, you know, as a child eating these recipes in her house, I didn't ask what the name was. You know, a lot of the things that she made, I didn't know what they called them. Oh, you want a piece of pie? Yes, I do want a piece of pie, you know. And I didn't know what it was called. There was one recipe in particular I came across, and I could tell the page had been really worn. I could tell that she had used that recipe a lot, and it was for Japanese fruit pie. And I was thinking, this don't even sound vaguely familiar, but Grandmama made this all the time. What is this pie? And so I made it. And when I took the first bite, my heart, just tears came to my eyes because I remembered that pie. Grandmama made that all the time, but I was a little girl and I didn't know what it was called. It was just that pie Grandmama made. And it just, you know, 30 years melted away. And I was a little girl in Grandmama's kitchen eating that pie again.
Oh, isn't that just the best? And like any good Southerner, you do have a recipe for sweet tea in here, don't you?
Absolutely. And I tell people the trick to it. You know, a lot of people tell me, that's one of the things I hear the most often when people find out what I do. They say, oh, I just can't make good tea. And 9 times out of 10, they're all doing one thing wrong.
What?
You need to put, you fill your pitcher up about a quarter of the way, a third or a quarter of the way, with cold water. And put your sugar in that. Oh. And then you pour your hot tea over that. Because what makes your tea bitter is when you pour the hot tea straight over the sugar. That scorches the sugar and it adds that bitterness. So if you want smooth tea, always add a little bit of cold water in your sugar first before you add your hot tea to it.
Oh, I'm so glad you told me that. I've been doing it all wrong.
Well, I'm sure your tea's wonderful, though.
Well, you know, it's going to be a lot better now, Christy, that you've told me exactly how I should be doing it. What other favorite recipes are in here that would be great to share over the holidays?
Well, we have our red velvet cake recipe in there, and that is a classic Southern cake. And this cake came from an old family friend, and the recipe is so good that it's even delicious without the icing. I don't recommend you make it without the icing because we need cream cheese icing in our life. But the red velvet cake recipe is absolutely to die for. It is wonderful.
And I do like the fact that you've
added... any recipe in there, yeah.
Oh, they're all good.
Oh, yeah,
but the lost recipes, those are the ones I really love.
Yeah, those are so special to us. And in this book in particular, the butter rolls is my favorite heritage recipe that was lost. I had so many people tell me about butter rolls and stuff, and my grandmother used to make them for me. And I would say, Grandmama, you've got to give me that recipe. And she'd say, well, no, it ain't really a recipe. You just do a little this and a little that. And I told her one day, I said, Grandmama, I'm going to come to your house because I can't tell my readers on the internet to do a little of this and a little of that. So I went to her house, and I followed right behind her, and I measured everything, and I was able to duplicate it. And it's actually, it's kind of a cousin to the cinnamon roll. It's biscuit dough with a little bit of softened butter spread on it and a little bit of sugar and cinnamon, and you roll it up like a cinnamon roll, and you cut it in cinnamon roll style. But then you mix up a sweet milk sauce, and you pour over it, and you bake it. So it ends up being kind of like a warm dumpling floating on a cloud of custard.
Oh, my gosh.
To take away all excuses, I even developed a shortcut recipe. I have the homemade version and a shortcut recipe in the book that starts with crescent roll dough. So you have no excuses. And then one of my readers shared her grandmother's chocolate butter roll recipe in the book, too.
Ooh. I just gained 10 pounds listening to you. Now, you're talking about the internet.
What sort of exercise program?
That's for after the holidays. And you mentioned the website, yoursouthernplate.com, and everybody knows about that. But for the one or two people out there that may not, tell us about that.
That is my little front porch on the internet. It's my dinner table, and I share family-friendly recipes and heritage recipes. A lot of them have step-by-step photos. I walk you through cooking. You know, I tell people, you're not just born with the ability to cook. Everybody can be a good cook. All it takes is the right recipe and a little bit of confidence. And southernplate.com is entirely free. There's well over 1,000 recipes there. And it's all easy to follow, and it uses simple ingredients. And I'd just love to have y'all come visit with me a little bit if you'd like.
Well, I wouldn't mind sitting on your porch any day with some of that sweet tea and a slice of red velvet cake. That sounds like heaven.
That would be my honor to have you.
Well, I'll tell you, are you still in Huntsville?
Yes, ma'am, Huntsville, Alabama.
Well, then we know where to find you, and of course at southernplate.com, and your hashtag is share the sweetness. I do like that.
Thank you so much.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for visiting with us today, and I look forward to trying out a whole lot of recipes over the holidays.
Thank you. It was good to get to talk to you, and you have a Merry Christmas.
You too, darling. Thank you.